pray that to you right now, Lord, that you would just cleanse us. Lord, you would just purify our hearts. You would establish us in your holiness. Lord, may the ministry of the word today have that effect upon us, the work of the Holy Spirit within us today. Lord, I thank you for what you've begun in us, and today shall contribute to that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I get into my message, something has come into my mind as we were worshiping, that someone, whether it's just now or recently, had thought the thought that, well, why do we do church services the way that we do? And the Holy Spirit knows your thoughts, and just speak this to you. Romans 12, 1 and 2 speaks of us presenting ourselves a living sacrifice and having our mind and being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And that follows the pattern of the priestly ministry. And Brother Allen mentioned that in his message this morning, where the priest would come to the altar with an offering for themselves. Well, Jesus fulfilled that. We don't come with an offering for ourselves, but we offer ourselves because of the offering he made. And then the next step in the preparation for the priestly ministry was the washing of the water, the laver. And for us, that is, according to Ephesians 5, the ministry of the word, the washing of the water of the word, where there needs to be cleansing of our thoughts, or a purification to think his thoughts, or in other words, his influence is influencing our mind. Then they were robed and anointed, and with a robe to go in there, and that robe had the stones where the names of the tribes were written, and we are to receive to our heart people that we would carry before the Lord in the priestly ministry and pray. So the reason why the pattern in churches that follow the Lord Jesus and aren't just trying to be different to be for different sake is a biblical pattern. And because of what the Lord did, we come offering our praise for what he's done, and we allow the ministry of the word to bring cleansing to us, renewing of our mind, that we can be changed to be more like him. Because if you're still thinking old ways, you're going to walk in old ways. So our mind needs to be renewed, and that positions us to do the will of God. So for whoever that was thinking that, whether it was just this morning or last few days, why we do church service like that? And a lot of people do things different, thinking that's the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm different. And they think they have to do something different all the time. Not so. God has patterns for us to follow. Now, in the midst of that, he'll move and do things that may manifest differently, but the patterns of life are the same. And when you know the joy in experiencing God in the pattern he lays out to walk, you don't have to like seek out to feel different for different sake. I marvel and chuckle to myself how especially younger people, but people want to create this identity and feel different from society or their parents or whoever, and they'll dress different ways. And I remember some years ago I went into a convenience store by gas, and I'm standing there waiting to pay, and a young lady comes in, and I thought a clown walked in the store. And I thought, if your parents made you dress like that, you would have a cow. But she's trying to be different. And the whole way back when I was a teenager, we did the same stuff. You know, you were trying to find an identity, and you'd be different for different sake. Well, my difference is to be different from the world and become like Jesus, where there's life and peace. I'd be different from the world. I don't have to be different from what the Bible teaches or Christianity or just some oddball Christian. There's a lot of flesh mixed in when people think that. I just want to be like him. And he spells out who he is. He is love. That's what Brother Allen was teaching. That's his DNA. So no matter what he does, that's going to come out because that's his DNA. Well, we'll get to the message here. Let me just read 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." Now, I'm going to begin by mentioning I was in a place of business, and I knew the owner, and Don and I were there, and just asked, "Well, did you see the debate last week, presidential debate?" And this person went off and said, "Oh yeah, but they didn't say anything, you know. They're just talking about the past." And I knew this person was repeating what a talking head on TV would say, because I've heard them say it. "Well, they're just talking about the past." And I was incredulous when I heard this come out, because this person's a Christian. I was incredulous. I said, "Well, you have to talk about the past, because the future..." Or the past, I say this way, the past is the future. The past is the future. And I marveled, this person, they should already know this. They're believers. But a lot of believers don't know enough truth to keep them in freedom. And it's like that, not talk about the past. What the one candidate did in 4 years as president, he's going to do again. And he even says so. "We did this and this and this and this, and that's what we're going to do again." And the one who currently is manifesting all manner of corruption and evil, given more time, would just do what they've always done. Except there's something changes that would bring a repentance or a change and turnaround. A person will continue to manifest whatever it is they've done before. If you're a complainer and you come into another social environment, what's going to happen is complaining is going to come out of your mouth. That's what's going to happen. If someone is offended easily with people, they think, "Oh, the problem are these people or this person." But you get away from them, the same situation will represent itself and you'll be offended all over again. So a person who's not free from that which has been working in the past, that is their future. It will continue to manifest over and over and over again. And people in their mind will determine other people are always the problem, failing to realize something needs to change in them. And if you want something different going forward, you're going to have to change what already is and has been in you up to that point. Now, thank God that His Word carries power to change us. And the Holy Spirit's working to change us to the degree will cooperate and allow him to. It's the Word and the Spirit. He changes from glory to glory, or that which we would see and know of Christ, because he is the pattern and the example of God in the flesh, and he is our example to follow. So as we behold the Lord and mix faith with that, the Holy Spirit will change us into that which we see. Now, it's interesting with children, they will mimic. Scary thought, isn't it? They'll mimic their parents. And sometimes people don't realize, and they don't like something in their child because that's what's in them. And they've just picked up on it. And it gets perpetuated generation to generation. So there is such a thing as generational sin, generational curses. Many times people learn the sin of a parent or whoever they're around. Could be a grandparent or whoever they're around. They learn that. They acquire that habit of thought and action, and it just perpetuates itself through the generations. And to whatever degree there's something not of God in the past, the power that needs to be broken over our mind, over our life, over our family, and we set a new course, a new direction in life, a new way of life is set forth, and the power of it can be broken. But if you fail to identify any behavior where it's not God's way, you'll continue to do it. It doesn't just go away. Sometimes people say, oh, kids, they'll grow out of throwing tantrums. No, a 15-year-old throws tantrums the same as a 3-year-old. A 35-year-old can throw tantrums the same way as the 15-year-old. It's just a bigger mess the older they get. It doesn't just go away. We need to be changed and transformed by the power of God. And if we don't call it sin, then there's nothing to repent of. The world, Satan, through psychology, will say, well, there's no sin. You just learned some wrong ways, and we need to re-educate you. No, there's something called sin, which brings guilt and condemnation, which people, in order to get away from that, apart from repentance, will say, well, it doesn't exist. No, there is guilt and condemnation, and it torments. However, we can be set free from that. It has no need to have power over us if we receive forgiveness and cleansing by the blood of Jesus. We're cleansed from the effects of sin in our soul. Not just the results of sin, but the effects of it within us. There's cleansing by the blood, knowing you're forgiven. It's washed away. Now, if our sins are not removed, they will continue to reoccur, and sin brings death, destruction. So people many times will wallow in the fact of what they're experiencing and fail to identify the process here, that where there's sin, it needs cut off, and we need to be cleansed and changed and transformed. And when you're aware of an area, that needs to be taken before the Lord. Lord, what's your word say about this? And we judge ourselves, and we release faith for him to change us into that which we should be. And he does. He will. He does. He's a God of change. When people say, well, I'll never change. I can't help it. No, you won't, as long as you talk like that. But we need to recognize, okay, here's something within me. And you don't have to blow a trumpet about your faults. People around you know what they are already anyway. You don't have to tell anybody. But in your own heart, before the Lord, Lord, I bring this before you. I humble myself. I realize, whatever it would be, I ask your forgiveness, and then you slip back into it the next day. Didn't you ask forgiveness? Yeah, but it came up again. Until my mind's renewed, it can happen again and again. And the Lord doesn't get tired of forgiving you. He's not like you would be with other people. A lot of times people get tired of having to forgive people. When are you ever going to stop doing it? Well, when our life's changed by the power of God, that's when. Meanwhile, in the meantime, you forgive 7 times 70. If you're counting to 490, you didn't forgive them in the first place. To me, that's the wisdom in that. If you're going to be counting, you're not forgiving anyway. Because when you truly forgive, it's erased. Now, concerning trust has to be built. Just because you're forgiven doesn't mean anyone should trust you. your faithfulness would earn trust. But in terms of holding that sin against you, you don't do that if you've forgiven someone. Okay, so your future, your past is your future. So anyway, I was incredulous with this person and started to preach this to him in a sense. And later I said, I'm sorry, I was a little passionate about that. Before we left, so I was a little passionate about that, but I was incredulous. You cannot look at the future apart from the past. Now, with our upcoming presidential election, you don't have people who are promising to do something where there's no track record. And certain parties, they like to pick people with no history. Because then you can't pin them down anything. They did that with a previous president. I won't mention the name. You can figure it out. So that's how they try and work around it. Make all these promises. I don't have to hear any promises. Their promise is based on their history. Now the world even knows this. If you were to apply for a loan to buy a house, and you go to the banker, they're going to judge your promise of your future payment based on your past history, whether you paid anything else off. In other words, we call that a credit rating. And they're smart enough to know if you have a bad past, they can't count on you for the future. So you have people that have to try to like work themselves out from that and slowly build up credit again. So the world even understands this, but they'll be pick and choose when they want to apply it. Well, that doesn't apply to a current president. Why would you think he'd do anything different? What he's done is out of his DNA. What the previous one did was out of his DNA, so to speak, in terms of governing, you know, their mindset about purpose and ways and everything relative to that. So it proceeds out from that. So you have a history. Show me your history. It's dangerous to elect someone with no history. To me, that's just stupidity. Yet we've done it before in our nation. People with no history. Okay. So Selah, this little illustration point there. Your past is your future. If you have sin you don't deal with, it will continue to manifest. Now, here's the good news. We can be cleansed and forgiven to where the sins of the past not only no longer condemn us, but have no power to influence our life going forward. Now, that being said, sometimes you have the law of sowing and reaping where you can be forgiven and your conscience is clear, but there's still some bad fruit because of what you've sowed before. That doesn't always change overnight. You know, as you sowed bad seed, you might be harvesting that for a while. However, if you continue to sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap life everlasting, as Galatians 6 brings out. We'll begin to reap and change our harvest. And there are many ministries, that's like a focal point of their whole ministry, is about harvest and so forth, and that's their calling to teach that. As a pastor, you teach all the Bible. A lot of times certain itinerants have a certain type of message that they take all over the body of Christ. The pastor, you got to go Genesis to Revelation, or you're not doing your job right. Because the whole Bible is for us. You can't just pick and choose. Well, your past will determine your future. So as you're beginning to sow the Word of God, and that's behind you, you can expect the harvest of the things that you've been sowing to your spirit and into your life and to people around you to begin to sow. Now that pertains to all things. If you want friendship, be a friend. Sow friendship. You know, when it comes to like financial, well, so finance. When it comes to work, so into the place you work. God will bless you. God will bless you. You know, you can have employers knocking on your door because you gave your best. I was with my son Jesse Jared yesterday, and Jesse works for the Navy. He's telling me, like, you know, he gave his best, put in above and beyond while I was in the Army, while he was first there. Anyways, a guy left and went to another arm of the military that's working with Navy. And this guy's calling him, please come work with us. I know how you work. I know what you, this guy's like number three in terms of the whole Navy, the whole worldwide United States Navy. He's number three, chain of command. So he'd be working for him. And this guy's looking for him. How's that happen? You didn't just do what was required. You sow your life into it. You do as unto the Lord the best that you can. And I know he did that. And he saw that. You have a guy, you know, left and went to another company, coming around trying to recruit him. Please come with us. Come work for me. I know how you work. And if you're handling like a $1 billion contract, you need somebody in trust too. yeah. Well, we have a future based upon that which has passed. So in the scripture here, it says we have a lively hope, a living hope by or as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have a future and a hope. We have a hope of heaven and eternity. We have the hope of the kingdom of God on this earth through our lives, love, peace, and joy, because of what was done, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and our identification with that by faith. So in Ephesians, it says we are raised up together with him, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus was raised up, and I'm raised up with him. That's what's behind me. That's what my life's based upon. So my expectation going forward is based on what Jesus did in the past. I have expectation for complete healing of my body. Why? Because of what Jesus did. By his stripes, healing was purchased for me. Because of what was done, I have full expectation. You see, if we don't understand that, then you think, like, wishfully about the future, that God's arbitrary. Oh, God, touch me while I wallow in my problem. Touch me. That's how you begin to think. A lot of Christians think like that because they're trained that way. But we learn to know what was done, what Jesus did in his redemptive work, and what he's done from the beginning of time. Because Ephesians 1 and 2 lays this whole principle out, that he had a plan before he created the world. He had a plan, and he had you in mind for your time on this earth. It was all in his mind before that was done, already done. And then throughout the Old Covenant, he had that plan for Israel to be that prophetic witness and testimony and example and pattern. And he did all these things. And that's part of our history. And Jesus knew what he did back then. He could do what while he was on the earth, like raise up Lazarus from the dead, feed the thousands. And all those things were done in the Old Testament. He had confidence moving ahead because what was done before. And the DNA character of God is that he is merciful. He doesn't change. He's a God of love. His heart is to bless not only you, but every human being. Because God so loved the world, he sent his only son, that whoever believes on him would not perish, but have life everlasting. He died for the whole world. What was done, past, presents that before them. Then it's their choice. And with that choice comes not just making him Savior, but Lord. And that gets missing in Western culture. The Eastern culture understands covenant. So he'll give everything to us, but he wants our life to him. So thus, that's what his lordship is. Our life belongs to him. And you proceed on there in Ephesians. He's done that work for us. It's done. That he can do a work in us and do a work through us. That which would happen through us future is based on what he's done to redeem us and save us from sin, and what he is presently doing in us, or what we're allowing him to do, is to change us to be a vessel he can flow through, not something clogged up. I do this PD dialysis at home, and now and then, something's not working right, and the machine has a beep, 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 buzz, 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 irritating noise to tell you something's wrong. And sometimes Don will come in, and it might be a little, it's called fiber, a little bit of like a material from your gut gets stuck in the tube, blocks it up, can't flow. And that has to be unblocked. So she'll like snap at it and stuff, and sometimes that's changed too. And that's pretty rare, but that happens sometimes. That illustration pops into my mind. There's a lot of people, the Holy Spirit wants to flow through them, but there's a blockage in their tube. And it's wise just to call it sin or you won't repent. You say, well, I just have this little problem. Let me nurse it a little bit. Let me pet my little problem. Don't challenge me about my problem. Let the Holy Spirit convict you of sin. Then, and only then, can you repent and him take it out and cleanse you where you're really free. So now the work that was done is effective in you in the moment. Well, anyway, this person saying, well, just repeating what a talking head says, a way to dismiss what the good president had to say, in my mind. Your expectation of the future is based on the past. We have an expectation of heaven. Our sin's been erased, wiped away. It's because our past was changed to being a life of sin, to I am born again. I am raised up with Jesus Christ. I'm a new man in him. That's who I am. My destiny's changed because of what was done in the past for me. Not because of all what I've done. I just believe on what he did. And the future's set. Let me, I feel led to close out on Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and this principle that I'm sharing is throughout the whole Bible. I mean, it's the whole way through there. That's why I sort of marveled this person. They didn't see it, but some people just aren't taught. They just don't know. One of the great writers of the redemptive work of Christ was E.W. Kenyon. He expounded on that just incredibly. In his books, that was the main revelation he carried, the redemptive work of Jesus. And I remember as a hungry young believer getting a hold of Kenyon books and reading them all, like 10 times in a row straight till I go to the next one. Sometimes you stay on one page for a day, read it over and over. That's the kind of stuff I did in those days, read it over and over and over. So it got in my spirit. And begin changing you. Psalm 103, familiar psalm, Psalm of David. He commands his soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. No half-hearted stuff about this guy. He commands himself to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. In other words, those benefits are the promises of the covenant. Who forgives all your iniquities? Not some of them, not the little ones. All. Sometimes people struggle forgiving themselves. You just need to renew your mind to the Word. Who am I to not forgive myself of this? If God says, who's the Almighty, he forgives me of it all. See, you're putting yourself above him. That itself, that thought itself can change that for you. Who am I to do that? God says, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. Who heals all your diseases? The work of Jesus provided healing for all. Don't accept certain things as, well, it didn't happen right away, game over. No. Healing's available for everything. Well, this is a genetic, hereditary thing. You'll have this all your... Don't accept that. I remember years ago, we had a family doctor. He was a good man. He was a Christian man. And they started asking questions about family history. Well, my dad's side, most of them died much, much younger than they should with heart-related, obstructions and all that. He starts talking this to me. I said, no. We're not putting any of that. I don't accept that. We're not putting that on me. Just because that happened to them, you need to evaluate, why did that happen to them? Well, they... overweight, smoke, drank beer. That all contributes a little bit to this kind of stuff. Don't be putting no curse on me. Excuse my improper English there, but that's what happens. We get a little passion mixed in things. Sometimes you don't speak proper. But anyway, yeah, he backed off, but it's like, I'm not accepting that. I've outlived my... father and his father, their ages combined. And I don't intend to be gone anytime soon because there's a work to be done yet. My work's not over. Who redeems your life from destruction? Now, sin brings death. Satan will try to destroy everything of your life. But he provided a way of out, a way of victory. He's paid the price, which is what redeem is. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what he puts upon you. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Now, I'm not talking about cantaloupe and watermelon here. He's talking about the Word of God. He's going to satisfy you with his Word, refreshing you, strengthening you, so that your youth's renewed like the eagles. Your youth is renewed, or there is a strengthening that takes place. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Now, that would be to those that call out to him, obviously, that come into covenant. There is a place of his working to deliver us from oppressors. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. Now here he declares his DNA, who he is. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Now the things that he has done, does, and will do proceed out from who he is. So foremost, we want to acknowledge the character of God. Thus, when Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray, he said, hallowed be thy name, or to set apart, to acknowledge the name of God, whereby faith comes from seeing who he is. He didn't have just a little bit of mercy. He's plenteous. He'll not always chide or keep his anger forever. In other words, if we persist in sin, he needs to judge that before it destroys the object of his love, which is you. I shared the other week, I was filling in for Alan at his request, on the fact that judgment's love, or God judges our sin before it destroys us whom he loves. That's why a parent would paddle a child and correct that sin or manifestation behaviorally so that doesn't hurt them in another area. That's love. People who never correct their kids don't love them enough to have the confrontation. They just want everybody to be happy. Their goal in life is to make Billy happy. Well, the Bible teaches, lead them to be a man or woman of God, not make them happy. They learn to walk with the Lord, they'll begin to know the joy of the Lord, not happiness based on flesh, of which there's never any satisfaction. But there's a satisfaction for us. He satisfies us in our spirit. We can be content in him. Verse 10, he's not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our own iniquity. Don't ask for what you deserve, or you should go to hell. We all deserve to go to hell. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all rebelled against him at some point along the way. But God's gracious and merciful to us to give us something we didn't deserve or work for or earn. And thus, we can't take any credit. We can't boast in ourselves, but we can only give thanks and give all the glory to God who's blessed us with such a gift by his grace. He says, for as the heavens high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. There's no end to it. You know, people would study space. They say the universe is increasing at the speed of light. There's no end. And his mercies, that's his mercy. There's just no end. You might come to a place you need more. Well, more's coming. There's plenty there. It's not going to run out. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Your sin in the past, if you repent and come into that covenant promise and blessing, is removed, and you cannot find it or see it. The mind of God, it is removed. So don't you be bringing it up. Satan will bring up your past where you've sinned to condemn you and to rob you of any confidence. When he does that, remind him of his past. Oh, Mr. Devil, you want to condemn me? You've been condemned to hell. You are defeated. Right in your place of hell there, Jesus defeated you. He made a show of you openly. He humiliated you in front of all your demons. You want to talk about the past, devil? Mine's cleansed, but yours remains. You have a destiny, devil, of the eternal lake of fire because you've rejected your place with God in heaven. That's your destiny because of what you've done. Well, your sin's removed. That's some good news. Don't be carrying it around. Don't be carrying it around. You know, the more I go on, I expect more from myself. You should expect more of yourself as a believer. So when I sin, it bothers me more. And it could be the slightest little attitudinal thing that bothers me. Expect more. Expect to walk in the Spirit. Learn to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If you're too proud to say that, you will stay in bondage. Don't kid yourself. You are stuck in bondage. We need to be willing to humble ourselves. And the quicker you practice it, I'm sorry. I mean, this person I was incredulous with the other day, I said, so I was a little passionate. Everything I said was true, but I was a little over passionate. And the person, oh, that didn't bother me because they know me, so they know I was par for the course. Oh, it's removed. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. He's touched with your weakness, your infirmity. Jesus was the Word become flesh. He was God and man both. He understands the pressures, the temptations, and everything else. Don't let yourself think you're unique, that no one knows or understands what you do, what you go through. That's a work of the devil, to put those thoughts in your head where nobody understands. You know what that leads to? Poor me. Oh, I have it so rough. That's what that leads to. There's no hope for me. I'm bound to this. Don't let that kind of stuff be sticking in your mind. Well, he knows our frame. He remembers we're as dust. For as for man, his days are like grass, a flower of the field, so he flourishes. You know, right now, our grass is pretty well dead. Like a month ago, it was green. You had to cut it all the time. Now it's just brown, dead. A couple good rains will perk it back up again. But you see, that's how our life is. It's kind of like it's rich and full. Before you know it, it's like it's over. For the wind passes over and it's gone. The place there shall know no more, but the mercy of the Lord, but, even though all these things are passing away around us, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, or from the beginning to the end. His mercy is flowing out to man. That's God's history. God's history is that he releases his mercy continuous from Genesis to Revelation, and it will continue throughout your life to them that fear him or reverence and respect him. Not be afraid he'll squash you, but have a respect for his words, what that's saying. A respect for his presence, for his word, for his ways, and his righteousness to his children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. Now, we have a covenant relationship. God has promises and commandments. It was so in the old covenant, it's so in the new covenant. There are some people want promises without keeping any commandments. It's a covenant. Both give all. God gives all, we give all. I think we got the good end of the deal there. That's a bad business deal for God. But he got what he wanted, people, a people, that he's going to change, transform, fill with his Holy Spirit, and bring glory to him through the work he would do in our life. The Lord prepared his throne in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. We're coming before his throne. When our time here is finished, where are we going? We're coming before the throne of God in heaven. Bless the Lord, all ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. You don't boss angels around. There's some people teach that. They're wrong. According to scripture, they're wrong. The angels respond to the word. If you'll speak the word, they're commissioned to carry out God's word. We have authority to speak it, act it, and do it on this earth. So their release is based on you speaking, acting, walking in the word of God. They're not your servant as per like that you're the boss. The Lord's the boss. He gives us commandments. He gives us promises. As we're speaking that, they're released to do their job. For a person who has an angel assigned to them, and we all do, and you never speak the word, they're just standing there with their wings, you know, like this. And nothing to do. They're just waiting. But if we'll live and walk speaking his word, the angels are released to work around us. And they do a lot more than what you would ever think. Arranging things, bringing divine protection, and just many things like that. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that's us, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Again, he's speaking to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul.